Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Prep Life Podcast. This is your founder and CEO of Glam Girl Bikini, Amy Enger, today with my fabulous co-host.
Hey, guys. This is Chris Nicole, Glam Girl Bikini Coach and IFBB Bikini Pro.
So today we're going to talk about stress perception and how that all plays a part in our results when it comes to the prep life. So I wanted to start out our conversation with a study that was done, and it was done with 124 subjects. And basically there were two groups. So there was one group that had more enhancing, showing that stress was enhancing to them. And then there was another group that was kind of presented with the side of stress being a debilitating thing. And so they started out this study by doing a questionnaire on assessing baseline mood for the subjects, also a baseline saliva test, which in my opinion is the best one for testing cortisol, which is a stress hormone. Yeah. So that's the best way that you can measure it. So this is a really good study in that regard. So they got the baseline info, and then they started out by showing a video of how stress can be enhancing and how into the other group, how it can be debilitating. Then they went forward and also had these individuals have kind of like a stressful interview. And so half the group got really positive feedback where the people were making eye contact, they were smiling at them. And then the other group kind of had like negative feedback during the interview, making them feel uncomfortable. So both of them have this stressful situation. Cortisol is released. It showed that in the study that, you know, that was equal. But there are two hormones that should be released when a stressful situation occurs if things are going to plan, so to speak. So once the cortisol is released, you also have another hormone that's kind of like counteractive, and it's called DHEA sulfate. And so it was interesting in the study that the people that had the negative and debilitating stress or like the negative feedback, they actually did not secrete the DHEA sulfate. So really what we find from this study is that even though two groups of people undergo, you know, they went through the same type of stressful situation, they both released cortisol, and that was the same. It's just the people that had the positive reinforcement actually had that counterbalancing DHEA sulfate. And DHEA sulfate, for us prep lifers, is a very important hormone that is released because that is an anabolic type of hormone, whereas cortisol can be catabolic. So we are always looking for those ways to get those not only physiological benefits, but also the gains in the gym. So this can be something that is, I think, just a groundbreaking type of research study because it shows, you know, even though stress is unavoidable, your mindset, that you can, you know, your mindset has a big impact on your stress perception and how that affects your body. And so you can actually control that, and you can actually make stress work to your advantage. So do you have anything to add on that? I kind of like jumped right into this podcast, getting you guys, hitting you with my bikini nerd research.
No, I think this is a really important point and it's good for people to hear. And you had said to me like a little bit earlier about how there are so many things in life that you cannot control. Most things you cannot control, but the one thing that you can control is your mindset. And I think that's a really powerful statement. So when we're feeling that negative stress of like, wow, things are out of control, you actually do have control of your perception. And that actually can affect not only your progress, but also like biological systems within your body as well. So I think the mind is a really powerful tool, and it's not utilized as much as it can be. And so I think that that is one thing that I really appreciate from competitors, when they not only work on the physical aspect of their prep, but they also work on their mindset. I think that's where the most progress and the most growth comes from. So I always tell people, as much as you work out your body, don't forget about your mind as well too. So yeah, I think it's really important to look at things as either positive or negative. Or I know, Amy, you've mentioned in other podcasts about stepping on stage with like jitters versus stepping on stage with excitement, and how there's a difference in that. So yeah, I mean, you can apply it to a lot of situations.
Yeah. And just, I want to kind of get down to how this is affecting us physiologically. So something that I've noticed with competitors in my years of prepping athletes is just, I've seen these trends over time, and I never really had like a research or any kind of scientific background behind it. So this is like all anecdotal, but I've just noticed in athletes and even in myself, like my own personal experience, I've noticed that when I have a negative stress perception. So like I said before, stress is unavoidable. We're all going to experience it. But when I have a negative perception regarding that stress, I notice that like I get bloated, I get constipated, or I have gut issues that kind of crop up. And I know that, you know, in some people I've seen like blood sugar issues or hormonal issues, but stress can really affect the body negatively. And, you know, we may not have a lot of stress even in our lives, but if we perceive it so negatively, it can really make a big impact. And then on the flip side of that coin, I've seen people that are just like boss babes, like having like full-time job, like kids, prepping for a show, like going to school, doing all these things, juggling all these balls, and they have a very positive stress perception, and I just see them totally killing it, and they don't have quite these issues. Do you have anything to add on that, or any kind of like personal experiences or anything that you've seen?
Yeah, absolutely. As an athlete, I can say that I do, and we've talked about this, that a lot of issues that I've had with either my gut or with like amenorrhea, like losing my menstrual cycle, have been impacted from stress that's happened in my life. So yeah, my body really, I mean, your body will tell you things, like it's made to survive at the end of the day. So it will, like, whether it's actual, like a life-threatening situation or perceived stress, your body's going to react to it. And as a coach, I know that one thing that I have learned is that when I am trying to help my clients with stress, like say they're dealing with a lot of things going on in their life, the times that I've focused so much on helping them mitigate those stressors, like, okay, how can we change your situation, or how can we remove this, or how can we, like, you know, like all of these things, and trying to teach them to put those change those stressors, or like make adjustments, like basically eliminate stress from life. That's been like my target goal as a coach for a while. And I have come to realize that that's a huge disservice, because stress is always going to be a part of your life. And so if I'm teaching people to remove all of it and not giving them the tools to like manage the stress when that stressor does come, because unfortunate things happen all the time, they almost don't have the tools to know how to deal with it. And they get more stressed out because they've worked so hard to remove so many things, and then this unfortunate thing kind of came in and disrupted that peaceful scene that they're trying to create in their life. So I think really focusing on, you know, controlling what you can control. If there are things that are really triggering or really negative and you have the ability to remove that, then yeah, absolutely do that. But really focusing on your mindset with whatever goal you have on or you have going on, will really make a difference in how you'll handle stress, like randomly coming into your life as well.
Yeah. And stress can, it can be very positive. So we don't want to say like, you know, that it's a negative thing all the time because
right.
you stress is a good stress. So, just to give you an example, I mean, your workout is a stress on your body, but, if cortisol release becomes chronic and stress becomes chronic, too much of that, it puts you into like this debilitating state. So you want to make sure you're releasing that DHEA sulfate, because right. that's like the counterbalance. I'll give you a little bit of an example, and we've talked about HRV. So, you know, that's kind of like a good measuring tool for stress that gives you like an actual number other than doing a saliva test. So I'll give you my example of last year. When my HRV was the lowest, it was the team shows. And for me, I didn't actually feel stressed. It wasn't until I looked back at the numbers that I realized my body and my numbers were showing that I was stressed. But for me, it was like a eustress. So that's what we call a challenge state. And it's when you think that you have the resources to handle and tackle a situation to get it done and that you perceive this challenge as something that is going to work out fine. So if I would have had a watch when you became a pro, I mean, let's be honest, I was in peak week. I was prepping. I was very lean and I was prepping you to win your pro card. So like, yeah, I was probably stressed, but it didn't feel like it
right.
to me. I didn't have a perception of that. So if you can put your mindset in that challenge state, I'll go back to the team show thing here as I kind of like got a little bit off track. I didn't have an Apple Watch then when you got your pro card. So I have no idea if I was like bad HRV or not. But like in the example of the team show, I know that I've given these ladies these resources. And sometimes as coaches, like you almost have more stress than when you actually compete yourself.
A
way like that you just want it so much. Like
yeah.
at least I personally just, you know, you want it so badly for them to be successful and you put so much into that. And so, yeah, it's stress, but I knew that they like, you know, they had the resources and that it was going to be a positive outcome. And it was just it was an exciting day. So that's probably why, you know, my stress levels were a little bit higher, but the perception was different. So we have challenge state, and that's kind of the state you want to be in order to release the DHEA sulfate. And then we also have the flip side of that, which is a threat state. So that's when I'm going to get back to that coined phrase of self-efficacy. If you listen to that podcast, when you have good self-efficacy, you know that you have the tools and the resources and the skill sets to be successful. So in a threat situation, you don't feel that. And I'm going to give a big example of just my own personal, and I've also seen this in competitors, so I'm sure that a lot of you listeners can relate. But for me personally, at the beginning of 2019 in the spring, I had transitioned with coaching. And so I was probably in a bad negative mindset in the fact that I was doubting what was going on. You know, it was new to me. I was unsure.
Methods.
I was anxious. It was a new method for me. So I was constantly giving the feedback to my coach, like, I don't feel like ready. You know, it was the negative mindset. I will be totally honest. And every week I'm saying like, you know, are you sure I'm going to be ready? Like, and there was a lot of anxiety, and it was that constant feedback every week. And he's such a nice guy. I think that he kind of like gave me the situation, to think about, So instead of just like throwing me under the bus and saying, hey, you need to like pick up your attitude, Missy, he basically told me an example of another competitor. So this particular competitor really stressed out when she was in a prep and she saw no results. Like literally every week she was stressed. She's like, I'm not going to be ready in time, blah, blah, blah. And he kind of like pulled her out of prep, or he told her that he did, but her plan was still like going, you know, like she was going to get ready for the show. But it was just basically taking out the element of her having to worry about this date and how many weeks out she was. And then she immediately started seeing results. And it was just literally the mental aspect of not stressing about something in the future. So I really took that conversation to heart. I was really grateful for it. And it gave me kind of that aha moment, like, okay, I needed that kick in the pants. I needed that like growth mindset to be like, you know what? Whatever I'm thinking, my body is going to follow. So from that point on, I really just changed my attitude. And I felt like, you know, I was able to bring one of the best packages that I've ever brought. I was proud of that. And I know that it's hard to do at times because this can be scary, especially if you've never gone through a prep and you're not sure of like where your body will go and all of that. But it's important to kind of try to reframe it so that it's more of a challenge state versus a threat state. Do you have any examples of those that you've overcome or your clients have overcome?
I can't think of any off the top of my head. I can't think of any off the top of my head, to be honest.
Okay. All right. So, as far as the, so I remember you were saying that you have like some, let's just talk about like everyday life. You know, a lot of people do like in work situations. If I were to give an example, I mean, I kind of gave it my example of my work situation, but like if you're working in corporate America, maybe you're just, you're thinking like, okay, this project that I have is like really, really difficult, but it's challenging in a eustress way, like a good way that I'm going to like basically focus my mind on a positive outcome. Do you have anything like that, like with school or general
life?
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, definitely with school. And it's kind of funny. I feel like this time around, like the first time I went to school, I was like, you know, right out of high school, went to college. I was right out of high school and like everything was like life or death. Like my grades were like so stressful. Projects were intense. Like everything was like, oh my gosh, if I don't like perform to this level, you know, like, I don't know. I just, everything was like a huge effort and very stressful. And then I feel like this time around, I'm a little bit older and, I just don't, I think my perception is so different where like, yes, I want to put forth a good effort, but I'm liking the challenge and I'm wanting to like perform for that challenge. But if things are not perfect, it's not like my world's going to end. But I notice a difference within like my classmates as well too, where there will be like a group text and people are getting really stressed out about like, is she going to ask this question or what's the test going to be like, or did you do this yet? And it's just like a frantic mindset. And I will kind of like, I will step back and really just see it as like, okay, this is cultivating more stress than it needs to in a negative way. And really like if you spend your energy on studying or the project or all of that instead of being so anxious about it, you're probably gonna have a better outcome anyways. So I mean, I could apply it to that type of situation in my life right now.
Yeah, I like that. And I want to talk about two different things today that are basically anabolic. So one of them is stress, and then one of them is also sleep. And we've done several podcasts on sleep, so we'll be kind of brief with that. But there's a new study that I wanted to discuss. But in closing on the stress thing, I wanted to share a book that I have just read or listened to on my audio, because that's real life and how you get through cardio. So it's called, it's by Angie Harder, and it's called The Tribe Called Bliss. And it's, I've been reading it primarily just because we have our Glam Girl retreat next weekend. And I think it's so important to have a group of women that are supportive of each other and that just have real deep relationships. But there was one chapter in particular that really brought my mind to this talk about stress and perceived stress perception and positive and negative. And there were a couple of quotes. So if you don't mind, I'm going to read those. The first one is, "It is not happy people that are grateful. It is grateful people that are happy. And if you are depressed, you are living in the past. If you are anxious, you are living in the future. If you are living in peace, then you are living in the present moment." And I think that that really rings true with what you're saying. Like, okay, I can worry about these answers that might be on the test, but if I just bring my mind back to, okay, I might not have tomorrow. that test might never happen. I might get killed in a car crash or whatever.
Right.
Not to be like totally negative, but we really only are guaranteed today, right? So you have these 24 hours that you have control over. So instead of stressing and having anxious thoughts about what's to come in the future, like, just bring yourself back to these 24 hours that you have and what you can control. And I think that the stress perception, you're most likely releasing that DHEA sulfate, right?
No, I love that so much, because I think that's what people struggle with a lot. A lot of the population, not just competitors, is like struggling with depression or anxiety. And I feel like that statement is something that's like so powerful to just like, where's your focus at this point, and kind of assess that. And that, I think that's just a simple way to take a first step in reframing your mindset.
Exactly. Yes. Okay. So the study on sleep, so there was a study of a group getting 8 hours of sleep a night, and then the other group got less than 5.5 hours. And so they, both groups dieted for 2 weeks. So they were both in a significant caloric deficit. And the only difference was that one group was sleep deprived and one was well, you know, rested. So the sleep deprived group, at the end of the study, they measured their body composition, and basically there was 50% of their weight loss. So both groups lost about the same amount of weight in the 2 week period, but the sleep deprived group, 50% of that loss was lean muscle, and then 50% was body fat. The group that had sleep, the 8 hours or more, they actually primarily only lost body fat, which to me is mind-blowing, because when you think about calories in versus calories out, clearly they both had this, you know, both groups had the same deficit. So it really like stimulates my mind to think like, okay, so from a calories in, calories out standpoint, how did the sleep deprivation affect that group? And why the one group, you know, lost a significant amount of muscle as part of their weight loss, and another group lost basically zero muscle and all fat, which is ideal. So the first kind of like thing that, if we talk about calories out, my guess is that the sleep deprived group, their NEAT, so their non-exercise activity thermogenesis, their daily activity is probably down-regulated due to being overly tired. Another thought, too, is that their performance in the gym when they exercise, we all know that, you know, after even just one bad night of sleep, I feel like it has affected my performance in the gym.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I would agree.
Yeah. And then the other thing that physiologically most likely happened to these people, these individuals, is that even after a poor night's sleep, it's been shown that ghrelin will actually increase after one bad night's sleep. So that's your hunger hormone increases significantly. So those people are not only more likely to overeat because that hunger hormone is so high, but they're mm-hmm. also slowing down in their everyday activities. Any thoughts before I move on to some of the ways that we can, I guess another thing too, is that this wasn't tested, but my guess is too, that the people that didn't get as much sleep is that their hormone, testosterone probably decreased. And so that would be my explanation, I think, in the body composition portion. Mm-hmm. What are your thoughts there?
Yeah, I definitely think everything plays a role. I'd be curious to know like what hormones were affected by the sleep. Cause I feel like we have so many, people that are either like night shift workers or, people that don't sleep a lot or have irregular sleep cycles. So it'd be very interesting to see how hormones are affected by that. But I really do think that people undervalue, how effective sleep is, not just, I mean, cognitively, I feel like people operate better with sleep, but also with your physicals, it's important too.
Yeah. So some of the things that, some takeaways, I think, so we kind of like jokingly talked about this before the podcast that we were going to say like what the best PEDs are out there. I guess performance enhancing. So we're actually just joking because really we were just saying how the best performance enhancement effects that you can get are from sleep and then also just your perceived stress. So what this study is showing is that you need to at least get a minimum of 7.5 and you're definitely going to see some performance enhancing effects after 9 hours of sleep. So I thought that was really interesting. We're going to briefly we're kind of running out of time, but I want to go over a few highlighted points of ways that you can improve your sleep and some strategies that you can utilize for your nighttime routine that will aid in this performance enhancing effect of sleep. So the first one would be melatonin. So if you take at least like 3 to 10 milligrams is about the average, you will see that there are studies that show that people that take melatonin before they go to bed actually increase their lean body mass. Now, this isn't because melatonin is a performance enhancing supplement. It's because sleep was better in these individuals because they took the melatonin before going to bed. So that's why there was that increase in lean muscle tissue. Do you want to mention some of the other different strategies that we can use to get a good night's sleep?
Yeah, I think making sure your environment is conducive to good sleep, like making sure your room is really dark. If you have dark room curtains, those can help. If you have, you know, like you live where there's a lot of street lights or outside light, those can be really helpful. Or if you don't have the curtains, just using like an eye cover, something like that. Sometimes those are helpful too if you have like an alarm clock or something like that that's creating light within your bedroom. So making sure it's nice and dark and then making sure it's cool. So room temperature, they suggest, should be around like 67 degrees. So they do say that you sleep better when it's a cooler room. And I actually have a client that uses a weighted blanket. And she said it's like, it's my client Alicia. She said it's almost like there's little beads within the blanket. And that has really helped her sleep quality. And she said it's not like, it doesn't make it like really hot. Like it's not heavy. Like it would be like a super warm blanket, but it's just the weight of it on your body kind of helps her like relax and get to sleep faster. So that's another suggestion too. And then a couple other things helping you fall asleep, excuse me, quicker is to make sure that you, if you're on technology, is making sure you're using blue blocker glasses or you're using filters that will kind of take away the blue light, because that does disrupt your melatonin production, which helps you fall asleep. So really making sure that you're taking time away from electronics before bed. I know a lot of people, that's hard because they watch TV or scroll on their phone to relax, but really making sure your body is producing that melatonin to fall asleep. I would just watch that. I use the blue blocker glasses actually, and I do feel like it helps. I do the filters and the blue blocker glasses, but I also take some time away from electronics. I would just do it all. and then having a sound machine to make sure that, what's that?
I said Wonder Woman. You do it
oh,
all.
Oh, yeah. I just do it all. But then also a sound machine has helped a couple people, having that like white noise so that any disruptive noises outside or within your home are not disrupting your sleep cycle. So
yeah,
I'm all about sleep. I'm an advocate for sleep.
Absolutely. It's the best PED on the market. that concludes this episode. I hope that you found it helpful. Our, our very inexpensive PEDs. They're very easy to do and implement in your life. But you do have to take a conscious effort to make those habits, stick. And I think just knowing that your mindset has such a scientific impact on your well-being, I think is just an incredible, it's incredibly clear.
Powerful.
Yeah, and clear after, seeing these studies and the research there. So that concludes this episode. We are so glad that you joined us, and we hope that you can tag us on your stories. We are found on Instagram at Prep Life Podcast and also at Glam Girl Bikini. We are always looking for fabulous, hardworking unicorns. So if you would like to apply for the team, you can find us at glamgirlbikini.com. And this is your founder and CEO of Glam Girl Bikini, Amy Enger, signing off with my fabulous co-host.
And this is Chris Nicole, Glam Girl Bikini Coach and IFBB Bikini Pro. Thanks for listening, guys.